Well, we're going to begin today a series of three talks looking at the dedication of the temple. It was newly built at the time of Solomon. Solomon was about 900 years before the birth of Jesus, so we're in that period of the Old Testament. And as we do this, we're really planning to prepare ourselves for the opening of our new extension. And to do more than just open a building, but really rededicate ourselves for mission and for kingdom building. And of course, the bishop's going to come on Saturday, the 20th of May, and open the building and bless it. And then we'll have our gift day on the 21st. And there's envelopes for all of you today. If you're not on the electoral roll, there are some spare ones there as well. And then in 2 weeks' time, John Coles is going to come from New Wine and will lead us looking at the next passage to this one in Chronicles, when fire comes down into the temple. And we need to pray for God to do amazing things, I think, in this time. It's a rededication of ourselves as well as a dedication of a building. We need to prepare. We want to consecrate ourselves. And today we're going to be looking at this inspiring prayer. Solomon has gathered all the people for this dedication of the new temple. It has a sort of real, a deeper sort of meaning than many of the gatherings of Israel that had happened. There's something special going on here. Now, Solomon was the third king of Israel. They'd started off with King Saul, of course, who wasn't a great success, and then the great King David, who was an amazing king. And David nominates one of his sons, Solomon, to be king on the throne after his death. And the kingdom of Israel prospered enormously under David. It was much bigger than the current borders of Israel. It was powerful and it was wealthy. And David was a conqueror, but Solomon, his son, built alliances and made peace with the nations around and made Israel even wealthier and even stronger through these alliances. And David had built an amazing palace in Jerusalem for himself. And he wanted to build a temple for God. But God had said, no, you're a warrior. This is not a job for a warrior. This is a job for a peacemaker. And so the temple wasn't built then. It was saved for Solomon to build the temple. And that's what he did. And God wanted Israel's kings to be different from the kings around. The kings were, you know, around were self-serving tyrants like tyrants today. And God says that he's called David to be a shepherd of the people. Just as David had been a shepherd of the sheep in his early days, so he was to be shepherd of the people Israel. And in this passage that we've just read, that Jean read, Solomon shows his credentials as a pastor and as a shepherd of his people then. And he prays for the people with real passion. He's got a real heart as he prays. This was no sort of formal dedication ceremony. You know, they weren't going through the motions here. Solomon, the pastor, has gathered them for no less than an encounter with God. That's what he wants to happen. His purpose is that they should come and bless God, that they should come and give thanks for what God has done, but then that they should meet God in a powerful way. So that's what this prayer is about. It's an intercession from Solomon for the people. It's passionate, it's God-centered, and it's full of faith as well. And we read just a short section of this prayer. You might like to go home and read it from verse 12 all the way through the rest of the chapter and then through the next chapter too, because we're going to be looking at that in the next couple of weeks. And Solomon's prayer begins by recognizing the one that we address when we pray. Solomon stood on the platform, and then he knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven. He said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep your covenant of love with the servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You see, God is primary, isn't he? He is the Lord of heaven and earth. There is no one like God. Everything else is secondary to God. And he must be first for us in all our thinking, in all our doing, in all our lives. God is first. He is a sort of immovable object, the most amazing, enormous, almighty God. He really can't be relegated to be a side issue. But we do that, don't we? God slips away from that central point in our lives to become a side issue as things come at us. But before we ask God for anything, we have to put him back in his right place. We recognize, as Solomon did, O God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. His creator, all-powerful, all-loving, almighty for us. And he loves us. Note the second part of that verse. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants. That almighty God has a covenant with you as an individual. You have an agreement with God if you're a Christian today. And it's based on his love for you, which is undying, never-ending, total, more than you can imagine. He has a covenant of love with you. So that's the first thing to see in Solomon's prayer. God comes first in our lives. But secondly, God is holy. And Solomon recognizes God's holiness in verse 14. And he recognizes that God is holy, so we have to live holy lives too. This is what he says. You keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. We continue in his way. And verse 16. You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel. This is God speaking. If only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me according to the law as you have done. We are to walk with God, to walk before him, to allow him to walk alongside us. You know, Paul says in Galatians, God will not be mocked. He knows the content of our lives, the content of our hearts. And in this great prayer, if you read the rest of it, Solomon cites seven examples of the sin of God's people, the ways that they might fall into sin. And he outlines the consequences of those sins. And of course, we all know that sin carries with it destruction, really. It's damaging, it corrupts our lives, it destroys things. By its nature, it has within it sin, the seeds of degradation and corruption and damage for our hearts. But those seven sins that Solomon mentions, he then prays for them as the pastor and as the shepherd, that if they turn back from God, if they pray for forgiveness, if they really seek God wholeheartedly, Solomon asks the question in his prayer, will you forgive them, God? So he's interceding, he's saying, he's pleading for the people, God, will you forgive them these sins that they're facing? And you know, Solomon, the pastor and the shepherd interceding for his people, foreshadows another shepherd and another pastor and another son of David, Jesus, who intercedes for us. And he is the greatest intercessor. Because through him, through the cross, we can have utter, total, complete assurance that when we turn to the Father in repentance, we are forgiven. In fact, you know, it's even more than that. It's before we even turned to God in repentance that we are forgiven. Because we are in a place of grace. We cannot fall out of that place. We need to turn in repentance for our own good and our own hearts. But God has already forgiven us through the cross and in Jesus. And so what I'm calling us to do, really, myself and you, is to consecrate ourselves as we prepare to open this building. This is a crucial time in the life of our church. We need to be open to God in the most radical way, in the most heart-searching way. Consecrate yourself. I want us to spend a month consecrating ourselves before God. Because as we do so, then as we pray for fire, that fire will come down. We're not just rededicating a building, we're rededicating a people to serve him. Are you ready for an encounter with God? He's holy. He will not be mocked. You know, we might kid ourselves sometimes. We might kid other people. We might kid ourselves, but we never kid God. He knows us. But the good news is that he loves us. He longs for us to return to him. Longs for us more than we long ourselves. And you know, when we do that, he forgives us. And that forgiveness is complete. And we don't have to go and fish for those things in the past that we've done wrong. As we come this morning, don't bring up things you've already been forgiven for. You are forgiven for those. That's done. God's forgotten it, so you forget it too. Just bring up those things that have happened since then. You know? The grub that you've got on your feet that needs washing off. Is there something you need to deal with today? Let's just take a moment of silence and just give a bit of space for God to tell us that. And then I'll go on a bit further. So God is first. We fix our eyes on him. Secondly, God is holy. We come in repentance. We find the most amazing, you know, heart-winning and renewing forgiveness. We find blessing. We find hope in him. Hope that the future will be different with him as we walk with him. That's the first 2 points. Thirdly, God is transcendent. He is almighty. He is everywhere. He doesn't fit into our little boxes. You know, sometimes we shove him in little boxes, don't we? He is almighty God of all the universe. We like to contain him in safe little spaces, but he is a God who will not be contained. Verse 18. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much this temple that I have built? Yet, Lord my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Well, that's our prayer, isn't it? That God will hear the prayer that we pray towards this place and towards this people, this family of which we are part. We're rededicating ourselves as well as our building. And here as we worship, God fills us. And then he sends us out to be those people of glory, those temple people, to be temples ourselves of the Holy Spirit as the comes into us and we show his glory in the world. So Solomon's prayer must be our prayer as we prepare in this month for what God is going to do. That God will be first in our lives. We have to keep putting him back there, don't we? Because we allow him to slip off the side. Put him first again today. That we might be a repentant, holy people, full of his life and forgiveness and love. And that he might come as a holy God to bless us with his glory. On Wednesday night, the prayer ministry team are going to start praying in the prayer room in our new extension. It's going to be the beginnings, the first fruits of what we're praying for God to do, that God will come down. And then from Thursday, that room will be open from the outside, so you'll be able to get in that end of the extension. There's a door to the outside. And that will be available each day in daylight hours. If you want to come and pray in there. That would be great. And the PCC have suggested that we might pray for our church and our mission by stopping at a certain time each day. Just for a moment, maybe. And we're suggesting 2 times, actually, because we've all got different things on. But 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock each day. Or you can do both if you like. just stopping for a few moments. So we'll do that from today until the 4th of June. Set your phone to beep at 5 or 8 to remind you. In church, we will have a suggestion wall, which will go up this week, for the whole community, for all of us and everybody out there, to write post-its on saying what they'd like the extension used for. So what we're trying to do, I mean, obviously we won't be able to do all the things they say, but who, you know, we want people to feel that this is theirs, that it's part of theirs, and we want to use it for them. After the opening, we will respond to the Archbishop's Thy Kingdom Come call to prayer. He's called the nation to prayer, and actually it's the world now, because so many other people have joined in. Millions of people will be praying between Ascension and Pentecost, 10 days, and we're going to join in with that too, praying for the revival of the church and the revival of our nation and our world. And Sundays, we'll have our talks in Chronicles, and then we're going to look at Ezekiel 47, which is a wonderful vision of the water coming from the corner of the altar in the temple and pouring out. And he has a vision of this water running out. And we're going to not have water from the roof, even though we have got some water from the roof. We're dealing with that. We're going to have a river going out through and out the door. Don't quite know how we're going to do that, but you can wait and see and find out. And we're going to pray around it. So we're going to do that from Wednesday the 31st of May until Monday the 5th of June. The church will be open and we'll be able to come and pray at any time during the day. And then we're going to finish with a worship night on Monday the 5th of June. So an amazing month to be together, to pray and to offer our church to God. And all of that is in my letter, in case you're thinking, how on earth am I going to remember all that? That's in the letter, that's in the envelope. So I'm calling all of us to prayer, that God may be first, that we may be holy, that we may be consecrated in a wonderful way, and that his glory will fill this place and fill our lives. Let's pray, shall we? The end of his prayer, Solomon says this in verse 40. Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And Lord, that's our prayer now. We know that you hear us. We know that you love us. And then he prays, now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place. You and the ark of your might, may your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation, where your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord, we do that. Lord, we welcome you here. If there's anything coming between you and God, just confess it now. He forgives. It will be done in a moment. In a click of the fingers, he forgives. It's done, it's finished. Jesus did it. You are forgiven. Receive your forgiveness. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to hear our prayer. Make us more of you, Lord. Immeasurably more. Fill us with joy, Lord. Fill us with hope. Fill us with wisdom. Fill us with courage to speak of you. May this church just shine. Lord, we don't want a shiny, just a shiny building. We want a shiny people. Each of us, all of us. And Lord, we thank you that this is not our effort, our striving. This is your work. You do it in us. And Lord, this month, Lord, we pray for amazing things. We seek you. We long for you in this month. Lord, take us. Work amongst us.